Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, sleep apnea. It's a condition that causes abnormal breathing during sleep. It can be associated too with some serious complications. We'll hear to talk more about it and to answer your questions is our regular GP, Dr. Maura Finn. Hello, Maura.
Hello, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. So tell us about sleep apnea then. What is it?
Well, it's a condition of both sleep and breathing. So it's characterised by repetitive pauses in your breathing and periods when your breathing is actually quite shallow. And they can last from a few seconds to even minutes. And as a result, you've poor oxygen intake, obviously, and then you've sleep disturbance as well. And what's most remarkable about it is that most people aren't aware that they have it. And, you know, it's estimated about 80% of people with sleep apnea have not been diagnosed. And it has many, many repercussions, as you said. Mm-hmm. There's two major types of it, I suppose, I should explain. One, the most common is the obstructive sleep apnea. So if you can imagine that it's your airway is a little bit soft, as you know, and it can collapse a little bit during sleep. And that causes the airway to be a bit narrower. And therefore, you have this kind of collapse so you don't breathe. The other is a central sleep apnea. It's far less common. And it's because the messages from your brain to your to make you breathe are a little bit interrupted for some reason. But the obstructive is the most common form of it. And it's the one that's actually, it's the one that we can actually do most about as well, thankfully.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to some of those treatments in just a moment. So it just seems extraordinary that if you're not getting enough oxygen into your system, that and you can sleep through that, seems to me a strange thing.
Well, the thing is, you don't sleep through it. You do sleep. You may not be aware, you may not be fully awake, but you're not getting good quality sleep and you're not obviously getting the good oxygen intake that you need. And you'll have people who will frequently kind of present and say they have insomnia. They're really poor sleepers. They can't sleep and they don't know why. Or they may be kind of, I'm up to the toilet multiple times during the night, or I'm up because I'm uncomfortable in bed. And that may not be the actual sequence of events. It may be that they're waking because of these pauses in their breathing. They wake and then they kind of rouse a little bit and go, oh, I'll go to the toilet. And they may not be aware of what the cause of their disordered sleep is. Mm-hmm. And the cause may be actually disordered breathing as opposed to the other things that happen as a consequence of them waking. So it's a very, very common problem. And insomnics, you know, God, it's such a major problem, sleep disturbance. But the question they often don't ask is, why don't I sleep? You know, and it can be because of these conditions. And I suppose if you have any suspicion that you might have these conditions, it's a really good idea to check it out. And the people who are most at risk would be people who, you know, most of the things we can do nothing about. Being male is a risk factor. Getting older is a risk factor just because our tissues get a little bit looser as we get older. Having a family history of it is a risk factor as well. But being overweight definitely is a major risk factor. And, you know, so it should be addressed if at all possible. Using alcohol or sedative drugs that actually relax your tissues too much is a major risk factor. And having an excess neck circumference, what they say is everybody should get their measuring tapes out now, but 16 inches for a woman and 17 inches for a man is a kind of an excessive neck circumference and will actually increase the risk of sleep apnea.
Often,
as will any conditions. Oh, sorry, Claire.
No, you're fine. I was just going to say to you, often is it the partner of a person who might realise in the first instance that there is a problem, because you'll have snoring, won't you? And you'll have that gap in breathing that you sometimes hear about where it sounds like someone has just stopped breathing completely and then they gasp for air. Now, the person who has the sleep apnea mightn't be aware that that's happening because they're asleep in this instance, but the partner will, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a cause of great relationship difficulties a lot of the time too. And often the partner may have said nothing for a number of years about it before it becomes, you know, a problem that they may actually. So this is a good thing for partners to hear about too, that it's something that's important to bring to that person's attention as opposed to just a nagging issue. Often you'll hear people say that they were away with somebody else as well and they were maybe sharing a room and they were told then, you know. They'll have these pauses that might actually seem like they have stopped or even died, God forbid. They won't. Your body will make you breathe again, but it'll frighten the person beside them, you know. Mm-hmm. So So yes, it's actually something that you're frequently not aware of. And that sounds bizarre, but it is the case.
Okay, so the way that you deal with this, and I know there are some things that you can't deal with, like being a man and getting older, but you can make attempts at losing weight, quitting smoking if you smoke, also dealing with something that might be involved here, nasal allergies.
Yeah, so if you can imagine, if we said about the obstructive sleep apnea, it's the airways are getting narrower. So if you have chronic nasal allergies, you're going to have swollen mucosa in your upper airways. So treat that, and then airways are more, they're more open and you're more comfortable. You will probably more likely breathe through your nose during the night as opposed to your mouth. So that'll help. People who have chronic tonsillitis or adenoids problems that are causing significant obstruction, that can be dealt with through surgery in some situations. If somebody has a large thyroid, you know, that's a little bit lower in the neck, that can cause a problem. A large tongue can cause a problem. And dentists are very well placed to actually identify this in patients, because they'll identify a narrow jaw or other things that people might be doing during the night that might be damaging their teeth that actually are causing some of the problem too. Mm-hmm. So they're very well placed to actually identify it and encourage somebody to go for sleep studies where you can have a formal diagnosis made.
Okay, now I have a lot of questions from listeners, so let's get to as many as we can, Maura. So this sleep apnea patient has had it for 20 years. They're a daily user of the machine. They've lost over 7 stone in weight, which is incredible, but they still have to use the machine. The basic question they're asking is, can sleep apnea be cured?
Ah, OK. Well, obviously, you know, the loss of weight has probably helped it considerably. And any other, you treat the things you can treat. You always treat the underlying conditions, but that person is 20 years older than when they were first diagnosed. So possibly, you know, they've gone back to their baseline again. I would say I should explain what the machine is, actually, because, you know, what we're talking about here, this person is using a thing called a CPAP machine, most likely, which is a machine that you is strapped onto your face. Sounds a little unpleasant, but people get used to it. And there's air being pushed at a kind of a continuous pressure during the night that keeps the airway open. And it is a life changer for people who have severe sleep apnea. Some people find them very uncomfortable, and there's lots of different ways of modifying them. And there's a thing where there's one called a bi-level, so there's different pressures of air that are put through. So if this person has had it for 20 years, they've probably gone through many different generations of machine and hopefully has something that's very comfortable for them. They're unlikely to reverse this completely. And it is so important if they're doing really well and that person has lost a significant amount of weight, if they're really looking after their other lifestyle modifications, they will actually do really well, because sleep apnea is associated with diabetes, cardiovascular disease, atrial fibrillation, high blood pressure, and also, which makes an awful lot of sense, driving accidents and time off work and, you know, just poor mental health as well because of that excessive tiredness that they don't understand why they're so excessively tired.
Maura, I have a good few people who find the CPAP machine very difficult to use at night. Mm. I have one person saying that it keeps them awake. They find it difficult to sleep with the machine, which I suppose defeats the purpose. And another who says they find the machine very difficult. Someone else saying their skin is breaking down around the sides of the nose, wondering, is there anything? Are there different types of masks and machines that you can use?
Yeah, there are. And I think these things are being improved constantly. And I hear this a lot, and you can understand it. You can imagine what it's like. You have, you know, there's different masks. There's masks that would be just under the nose. There's one that covers the whole face. They have different liners on them to improve the kind of the contact with the skin. There are, like I said, you can have the continuous pressure, which is the CPAP, or you can have this bi-level pressure, which is a little bit more comfortable because the pressure is stronger to coordinate with the breath in and less strong to coordinate with the breath out. There's also new tech where they're actually this continuous, they're modifying and actually changing the breathing pressures as the night goes on to reflect your own breathing patterns. And you can imagine how IT has improved so much. You know, I'd imagine in a few years these things will be small, little, really non-obtrusive devices. But right now they are a little bit difficult. And at the moment, I suppose what you should do is go back to your provider, whoever that was initially, and talk to them about, is there any new developments or is there something I can do about it? Mm-hmm. I would consider, you know, putting the Vaseline and stuff over the mask you know, just to kind of protect the skin, if for that person where the skin is breaking down a little bit.
Okay, so there isn't much else you can do. I have a listener who has tried to put the Vaseline under the mask. That doesn't seem to be working for them. They've used a cover on the mask, but I can't tolerate the cover. That's difficult, isn't it? I don't know what else you can suggest. Maybe a different machine or a different mask.
A different mask, definitely. There's three very definite masks that are available in Ireland. So there may be more as well that are coming online. So I would think, talk to your provider about that, because, you know, it is uncomfortable. I'm sure it is. And it's particularly uncomfortable for that person. But the alternative is also very severe. The idea that you have these massive amounts of time when you're not getting enough oxygen into your brain during the night, you're at risk of all these serious health complications. So it's worth trying to kind of persevere with it and find a mask that suits you.
Now, my husband, says this listener, seems to take very short breaths while sleeping and also sometimes seems to stop breathing. Would he have sleep apnea? He's 51 and has type 1 diabetes.
Very possibly. So it doesn't always have to be a pause in the breath. It can be a shallow breath as well, like this person is describing. It could very possibly be 50. It's around the age when most people start presenting. Type 1 diabetes, he probably, you know, has his weight under control and everything because of that. But if he does have complications related to sleep apnea, it will actually cause other cardiovascular issues, which is a problem for diabetics anyway. So it's well worth looking into it a little bit more. Look at the parameters, look at the neck circumference, look at the type of breathing. Is he very tired during the day? That's a real sign. If he sits down and watches the news at lunchtime, is he actually going to fall asleep in front of the television? There's you know, simple things like that. Is he likely to get very drowsy when driving? These are all little signs, simple signs that we actually kind of accept a little bit too much of, but can be signs of sleep apnea. Because of that, you're not getting the restorative sleep you need.
So you're not really asleep then if you're doing that snorting, snoring and gasping.
No, I mean, you're not awake, but you're not getting. So this is the whole conversation about sleep. You know, sleep is actually such an important part of our lives. And it's about restoration. It's about kind of pruning our neurons. It's about kind of sorting out all sorts of memories and things. That only happens in specific periods of sleep. And it only happens if we stay asleep for the right amounts of time. So those people are not awake, but they're not having that proper restorative sleep that we need to be mentally and physically well.
Okay, ending up exhausted and at risk of all those other health problems that you told us about. This listener wants to know if modified dentures work on fixing sleep apnea. What are they now?
Absolutely. I should have mentioned those, actually. There's a thing called a mandibular advancement device. And the dentists, who, like I said, very well placed to actually identify these things, will often be able to recommend them. And what they do is they pull the lower jaw a little bit forward, thus opening the airway a little bit more. And it's a very simple device. It would probably be good for people with mild, even to moderate sleep apnea. For the very severe, it may not be enough, but it's certainly a starter position to be in. And if anybody's interested in that, they should discuss it with their dentist, and they'll very often be able to just tell by the shape of the dentature and other things that might be happening within the mouth that people may not be aware of.
Mm-hmm. But that's a starter device. So like for the people who are getting in touch here asking if there's an alternative to the machine because they find it uncomfortable, are you saying probably not? The dentures probably aren't going to work for them, or might they?
If they're at the machine level, they may be able to use both, but that might be quite uncomfortable too. There are new other things, though. There are surgical procedures that have been developed. There's a thing called a hypoglossal nerve stimulator. You know, this is an implantable device that actually stimulates you. You know, it's not something you wear. It's inside that stimulates the nerve to keep you breathing. There are also, you know, for very severe cases where you take away some of the tissue inside in the throat, you know. I presume there will be more advancements made all the time, but for the simpler kind of treatments, the CPAP, the mandibular device, and variations of the CPAP are actually the go-to. But there's been work done constantly. creating a new passageway, a new tracheostomy. There are so many things, but obviously they're very severe cases you'd be talking about that.
It's interesting that most of the messages we're getting in this morning are from the partners of people with sleep apnea.
which is quite telling.
Yeah, it certainly is. So this person says, my husband has sleep apnea, but has refused to use the nightly respiratory equipment. I tried for a year to encourage him to no avail. He now sleeps on his back all night with two pillows since having suffered a stroke in May of 2023. They've tried to help him turn onto his good side, but he seems content to stay on his back. Have you any tips?
That's very uncomfortable, you know, because if he sleeps on his back, the problem has been accentuated. The stroke, I'm not saying the stroke was an inevitability because of the sleep apnea, but they are so connected. He really needs to be on his side just for comfort for his partner and for himself as well. Unfortunately, I don't have, you know, the people used to talk about sewing a tennis ball into your pajamas so you wouldn't roll back on it. You know, there is no simple answer to this. If he just cannot tolerate it and feels too uncomfortable, you know, I suppose that is a life choice
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Dr. Maura Finn, our regular GP, answering your questions on sleep apnea.